You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello there, and welcome to this episode of Your Ultimate Life on LA Talk Radio. I'm excited tonight because I have a fabulous guest, a guest that I've known for some years and who has lots to offer. And I'm not even going to take any more seconds. So let's bring him on the show. Chris, welcome to the show.
My man, Kellen, how are you, brother?
I'm just outrageous. Good to see your face again and to be here with you. So we have 50 minutes, and I want to just pack this full of love and help for people who are looking to be motivated, psyched, lifted, blessed, and all the cool stuff that we know that you and I are both about. So I ask you about doing this show, and you said yes, unhesitatingly. Why did you say yes to come talk here?
Two reasons. Number one, it's you. Because it's you. I love the way you show up, man. I love your vibe. Look at you. I mean, you bring the vibe, and that's one of my favorite things in life is that we get the vibe up as human beings and that our vibes are detectable. And that we're constantly either purifying or polluting the environment with our vibes. And your vibe is just so good, man. So that's number one. I appreciate the hell out of you and the way you choose to serve people with such commitment. How could I say no? All right. And then the second is that this is part of my legacy, brother. You know, this is my deal. Like, and I never got married. I never had kids. I never opposed to it, right? I was never opposed to that. But it just didn't happen. And I'm totally cool with that. And that also means that my children, right, are not my legacy. So you know what it is? Service, content, and this is a form of that. You are offering me the opportunity to reach more people with what I have dedicated my life to, which is to help them strengthen the way that they use their minds so ultimately they are not settling, struggling, or suffering and living their ultimate life.
Settling, struggling, or suffering. I love that. We'll talk more about those in a minute if I remember them. But the thing I want to start with is hashtag BDDOML. So that's a hashtag that you use, and you talk about it a lot, and it's a choice, and I'm not going to give it away. I'm going to let you do it. What is it, and why is it important, and how would it help a regular person who isn't some elevated something or other in their own mind, even though they really are?
So I went to have brunch 2 days ago. I was visited by the infamous Devin Bandison, the go-to mind coach of the NBA. And we went out to a brunch here in Chandler. And the young woman working at the counter said, how many? I said, before she even said how many, she said, how are you? And whenever anybody asks me that, ever, these days, unless it's not true, it just happens to have been true every time for the last 2 years since I started doing this, I say, oh my God, thank you so much for asking. This is the best damn day of my life. And I say it, and I mean it. And they can tell I mean it. And I get all kinds of different responses to that. And I don't care how they hear it. I kind of hope that they hear it in a good way, but I'm not attached to that. They ask me a question and I'm answering. So what I do is a couple things here. On my bathroom mirror is written hashtag BDDOML. So one of the very first things I do every day, I will never skip this, is I do a ritual where I have it be true. This ain't fluff. This ain't kumbaya, nice little affirmations. This is like work, right? And so I'll tell you what, buddy, some days it's work. It's serious work. Some days I wake up, I'm not in the best mood. And that's the work. So what I do is I declare that this is the best damn day of my life. In other words, I don't wait to see how stuff goes. That's the number one mistake I've observed people making in the pursuit of their desires and their life of their dreams, is putting unnecessary time in between themselves and their desires and how they want to be and who they want to be and what they want to have and get and do. So this is a way of me not putting unnecessary time in between. Why wouldn't it be? I keep asking, why wouldn't you have this be the best damn day of your life? And I haven't heard a legitimate response. So I do that, right? And then throughout the day, when anyone asks me, how are you? Even if they don't care, because it's just a way of saying hi for so many people. They're not wondering, I would really love to know how you are. It's hi, just in a different language, like, how you doing? They asked me the question, so I used that as a reminder to do the work again in a moment's time, to have it be true that this is the best damn day of my life. So with that woman at the brunch counter, I said to her, "This is the best day." She said, "Why?" She went, "Wow, why?" And I said, "I decided every morning. It's a ritual. I start every day with that." And then I just said what I just said to you, and she goes, "I love that." I go, "Yeah, me too. Use it."
So you said some things in there really fast. We put unnecessary time between our this and that and the other and everything, and da da da. I understood that, and I talk at that speed too, but I want to unpack that a little bit. What drives me, if I'm just like, I'm a person, I'm person listening to you, these two guys talking, and I hear you say, best damn day of my life, and I make it true, and I there's two parts to this. We'll do that part in a minute. But the first part is, what is this deal about putting unnecessary time, and you equated that or likened it to waiting to see how things go before I decide if it's a good day or a bad day. So tell me about this unnecessary time stuff.
So, you know, we've all been conditioned. The work that I do, I call myself a mental toughness coach or a mental toughness trainer, is, again, helping people reprogram their minds, ultimately so that they can respond, we can respond to all of life with grace and mastery and skill and creativity and enthusiasm as fast as damn possible. And what that involves is unlearning or reprogramming, right? Because we've all been conditioned. Part of the human experience, I'm convinced, is that we have learned over time to experience life problematically and to also wait for a whole myriad of things. In other words, I used to work with professional athletes. There was a period of my career where I was a sports psychologist and only worked with competitive athletes. And it's amazing in that world that athletes, even some of the best athletes on the planet, like the ones you watch on TV, who are at the like top 0.1 percentile of skill level on the planet, still wait in order for a win, wait for a trophy, wait for a title, wait for a major in a tournament, in order to feel like they belong. People wait for a certain dollar amount to be in our bank account before we'll feel safe or secure financially. We wait for recognition before we feel competent. So, I mean, it's all learned. It's all learned, right? So there's a mantra for that. What do you know? Create the state, don't wait. I'm like BDDOML. I'm not waiting for stuff to go good to have it be the best damn day of my life. And the paradox here, Kellen, is that when I can really have it be legitimately true that I feel like this is the best day of my life, you know what happens? It turns into it. Like things are better. The way I show up is different. So create the state, don't wait. So like say one thing that you're waiting for is say money to feel successful, more savings, right? Or more wealth, right? You know, it's been a really valuable exercise is to visualize, what do you feel like? So say you have 10 million in the bank. How's that feel? And visualize that being true. Just fantasize for a second. Right. And if that would have you feel like, oh God, yes, I have nothing to worry about financially. This is so good. Well, you know what you're doing right there is you're creating that state without the 10 million. Now, what if you operate from that state? How different are you? You're creative. See, you're creating these high grade, super elevated states that release certain chemicals in the brain, like dopamine, serotonin, maybe even oxytocin, which activate all intelligence centers of the brain. The on switches for smart that have us get rapidly to creation or activate creative genius. So create the state, don't wait. What state? I don't care. You have access to them all. You have access to every single human state that exists in every moment of our lives. So think your way into the high grade ones. So don't wait for good grades if you're a student to feel like a genius. Be genius now. Be genius now. And you'll forget and do it again and do it again and do it again.
So the other half of that piece, that's fabulous. And I just, the thing I want that sticks with me that I want people to take away, if they will, is when you said you have access to every state of the human experience. You have access to that. And the example you gave is imagining the feelings and go like seriously imagining the feelings of having, you know, 10 million, you said, but huge amount of money in banks so that it's, oh, that feeling, and you truly experience those. And the key is to truly experience that. So the it's not a casual thought about it, but it's the true experience of it to create that state. And I say all that as a preamble because the question I have for you is, you said, when I sometimes get up and I look in the mirror, it's not fluff, it's this, it's hard. I have to do the work. So sometimes you're telling me you've got to do the work to create the state of experiencing that this is, in fact, the best damn day of your life. Describe that work that you or I or anybody needs to do to accomplish a state. What is the work?
Yeah, so, okay, all right. So I want to, I've got a couple notes here. The work is... Is and I want to keep this as simple as it actually is in reality, is simply altering your state by speaking to yourself powerfully. The work is to choose to fill your mind with amazing thought content. The end. It is not more complex than that. So let's not try to have it be. All right. So I speak to myself with amazing language. So I'll wake up one day, and you know, maybe I'm in a funk. Or maybe I get into an argument. Maybe I have weird dreams. Maybe I got into an argument with a friend. Or maybe I didn't like the way I behaved the night before. Or, you know, something like that. I got some low-grade thinking, like some shame or some crap like that, right? So, good, okay, let's change that state. Let's turn that around, all right? And let's say, you know what? So this is some of the language I'll use to myself. I am in love with life. I am a miracle designed to create miracles. I am an incomprehensible improbability. My life is freaking amazing. I'm designed. I am the entire universe pretending to be human. So these are some of my mantras that I use. And I don't even need to use all those. I could just say, you know what? Why not have today, because I get to choose that, be the best damn day of my life. Now, I wanted to back up. I used the example of the visualize like having 10 million in a bank. I have a real story of a client who I coached for a decade, and our mission was to have him sell his company in 10 years for 10 million. And we ended up over delivering. He sold his company for 12 million in 8 years, winning. Right? We continued to work together, even though we rung the bell because he enjoyed the work. And one day he showed up. And I could tell he was off. I'm like, what's going on? And he goes, don't say it. You always told me that when I get rich, I'm not going to be happier. I might be for a minute. I always thought you were full of crap. I never told you that. And I laughed. And he said, you were right. I'm still worried. So it's like having the money didn't change anything for very long. So the state that you experience when you visualize having $10 million in the bank, that's real. That's real. Having $10 million in the bank doesn't bring you a state. It might for a moment. They do research on that. There's research that's been done on lottery winners as well as serious accident victims who lost their, you know, use of their legs, paraplegics. In the same study. So the researchers interviewed the lottery winners and the accident victims, right? And they asked them a couple questions. They said, just prior to your event, either the lottery win or the accident, where would you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 on happiness? And they would, of course, record that. Then they would ask them, the next question was, now how about after your event? And of course, as everyone would predict, The lottery winners' self-ratings went way up. The accident victims' self-ratings of jewelry went way down. Then they came back a year later, the researchers did, a year, and said, where are you at now? The lottery winners came back down to their baseline. The accident victims went back up to their original baselines, generally speaking. Point, the external world does not have a lasting effect on the way you choose to experience reality internally. So why wait for stuff to go good? Alternatively, or additionally, why let anything in the outer world affect the way you choose to experience reality in the inner world? So if we have, when we have, right, you know, I do a lot of work, Kellen, in the tech industry, sales. You're getting hammered right now, hammered. Tons of layoffs. I'm doing a new podcast with someone on the mentality of how to recreate, reinvent yourself. You know, because of it, I just had conversations. I had two conversations today with people that were top performers that got laid off. And the conversation is all about, all right, so how long do you want to be pissed? All right. Or whatever it is, whatever low grade response. I'm not minimizing that. I'm not invalidating it. I'm just saying, how soon will you be able to get to creation? Right. I don't want to let the external circumstance immobilize me.
I want to jump in right here for a second. Here's why. Everything that you're saying points to a powerful truth that most people don't either realize or believe. And that is that you and I, and you as listeners, you create your experience of life. And it doesn't matter either very much, very long, or at all what happens around you. That is the foundational truth that you're talking about when you talk about lottery winners coming down and, you know, injured people going back up and all of that sort of thing. You create, you own the power to create your own life, your experience of it, no matter what's going on around you.
I want to be very sensitive and mindful when I have a discussion like this, because I can hear it that some listeners are saying, oh, really? So like my spouse is killed in an accident, tragically, I'm not supposed to let that external event affect me. And I feel that. I'm like, okay, right, yeah, well, let's not start with those examples. Okay. Let's not start with those. Okay. And grief is real and it's all legit by virtue of you ever experiencing pain. It's legit. There's another mantra, which is pain is inevitable. Suffering, however, is optional, right? And suffering comes from when I judge the pain. And if we're learning to swim, right, we don't want to learn to swim in the English Channel in the winter in a storm. In other words, under the hardest conditions. We want to learn to swim in the shallow end of a warm pool with a lifeguard, right? So that we can learn faster. When we're talking about upgrading our interpretations of reality, we want to start practicing, getting in repetitions with all the dumb crap, the meaningless crap that we permit to have us go south in our brains all damn day long. Spilling coffee, traffic, you know, and all the millions of other things that, you know, running out of coffee or, you know, the pen running out of ink or breaking my readers. You know, all the – just start paying attention. Another scientific research study says that we, on average, humans complain once every 11 seconds.
So I'm glad you did – I'm glad you said that, because you've been on my other podcasts and I had several guests, you know, one who lost his son and one who had – you know, a bunch of horrible things happened to them, and their grief and pain and suffering was absolutely real. But your point is those things happen, they hurt, and they're real. How? And it's the question that you ask the laid off person, how long before you can begin to create. And with each circumstance and each person, that might vary, but it's still a question. How long before you can begin, at least, to create with your own authority, with your own power, with your own sovereignty? So while acknowledging the truth, I mean, one of the things we have here is because of the war in Europe, we have a Ukrainian family who are with us. My wife's Ukrainian. Her dad was born in Odessa. So when that started a year ago, almost exactly, it was a big deal. And one of the ways we thought we could help is have somebody. So we've got a family here. Yeah, a mother and daughter with us. And her, you know, the dad can't leave because of the war and all the rest. So for them, that's front and center and real. But even in that, there is opportunity for creation.
There's never not opportunity for creation. So the mantra for that is every set of circumstances can be created from if viewed masterfully. Obviously, what we're discussing right now, Callan, is there are certain circumstances that aren't real easy to even entertain creating from, like tragedy. But you know when that's really, really hard to do is when you have no practice. You're like trying, like, you know, you never played tennis. You want to go try to compete in Wimbledon. You know, what, you got no chance. So it's like what we're discussing right now, to be clear and to be of value to the listeners and viewers, is practice. Okay, we have the ability to experience life beautifully as it is. I you know, the work, you could say that the work, the mental training that I do is about freeing ourselves from the conditioning of our past so that we can experience reality as it is in all of its infinite splendor, as opposed to through the thick lenses of the conditioning of our past that would have us see so many problems.
And complain every 11 seconds.
And complain every 11 seconds and just have so much of a problem with what happens,
So the takeaway for this, for everybody, for me and everybody else, is let's practice. Let's start right now to practice with every little thing that happens and not argue with the principle because there are hard times and hard places. It's like saying, I'm not going to walk up this little hill over here because I want to start with Mount Everest. Well, we don't need to do that. So let's practice with the things we have here to give us both the skill and the experience of winning, of achieving, upgrading that mental mindset, that landscape. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah. So, I mean, to make it as practical as possible for folks, start paying attention to your complaints. Like really, really make a commitment right now and say, I'm going to start systematically eliminating the behavior of complaining from my life because it makes me stupid. Okay. So the way to start that is to simply pay attention. All right. Self-inquiry. Be on guard and gamify this. Have fun with this. Bring lightheartedness into this because that's smart to do. Fun is one of the most intelligent and responsible things we could ever do. So, which is why all human beings report like lightheartedness when they're at peak performance. Go figure. So bring lightness into this practice, which is catch yourself when you're complaining. As fast as you can. As fast as you can, stop. As fast as you can, stop it. Even if it's in retrospect, that's good. It's a way you caught it. Even if it's already done and it was like 3 minutes ago, and you're like, oh, wow, I was really complaining about that person being really pathetically slow and checking out my groceries. Okay, then turn it into a legitimate expression of gratitude. I'm so happy that I live in a culture where I get to buy food at a store that is called convenient.
So I want to ask you, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Finish up.
No, you didn't.
Okay, so you have repeated several things that you're calling mantras. Those that do meditation might think of Om or Om Mani Padme Hum or whatever it is. That isn't what you're talking about. Wow. You're thinking about a book, or you're thinking about a collection of ideas that you can successfully use to do the kinds of practice that you're talking about. Upgrade your thinking, get rid of the thick lenses that drive us to complain and to view the world in this negative way. And you wrote a book about that, which I love and have talked to a lot of people about, the book of Mental Toughness Mantras, which is a collection of those you mentioned and a whole bunch more. that are really good. Tell me about the mantras. How did you collect them? Why did you write the book? How can we use them? And I realize that's three questions, but how can we use them to do the practice that you're talking about?
So that's this book is the product of the last 30 years of my work. So over time in coaching people, we've come up with all these great little phrases. And some of them I just stole, like I stole from Steve Chandler or stole from Byron Katie or whoever the hell. You know, just great, great short phrases, nice pithy phrases that contain volumes of information. So I know I may be bastardizing the term mantra a little bit here, but I don't care because it's useful for people. Which is, so the way I'm defining mantra here is a nice, short, concise, but like neutron star level dense with wisdom, you know, so that we can remind ourselves, we can use these phrases like create the state, don't wait, or the problem is the gift, or ain't bad, just is, or vibe up, you know, so I can say these things. And these are some of the things that I say to myself in the morning to help make it easy for me to have it be true that it's the best damn day of my life. These are the things that I say to myself throughout the day to as my replacement thoughts. Okay, so I just said a second ago, the practical, my invitation to everybody is to start replacing complaints, right, the behavior with expressions of like true, authentic, legitimate gratitude, right? And there's 52 in here. I came out, I was going to do 50. I'm like, just to use two more. So it's like one per week of the year, whatever. But what this is, you know what this is like? This is like a toolbox, this book. And it's full of tools to make it easy. Every one of these mantras is meant to make it easier for you in a certain circumstance to elevate your state, or in other words, to put it a different way, to experience reality in this moment much more intelligently, much more powerfully. So here's an analogy for it. A master craftsman has one hell of a collection of tools, like an amazing collection of tools. And they don't just own them, they know them. They know them so well. They know exactly when that tool would be perfectly useful. Right? So that a master craftsman might have 17 different kinds of saws. They all cut stuff. So fundamentally, they do the same thing, but not the same way. And they're not the perfect tool. Like a miter saw is not the perfect tool for a circumstance where you need a hacksaw. Right? So they are perfect for certain circumstances. And the master craftsman knows those circumstances. So has access to make the creation of excellence faster. And easier and more beautiful. That's what this is. This is the Master Craftsman Toolbox for creating, guess what? Your ultimate life.
I love that phrase, and I just love it so much I'm going to say it again. To make the creation of excellence faster and easier. And people yearn in their hearts for whatever they dream that ultimate life or ultimate freedom or whatever to be. But then they have those lenses so often of past experience and of learned behaviors to believe that they can't have it or it's not for them or it's too late or it's too hard or whatever. And everything that you're saying so far about the creation of excellence being faster, being easier, having the right tool, getting some practice at the easy level so that you get some success under your belt and you have the feeling of, hey, I can actually do this. I can catch some low-grade thinking. And I love you're using these words, and I'm saying them again because I want people to, me too, I want to attach to them. That is low-grade thinking. And one thing you said that I want to dance on a little bit more is happiness and pleasure or fun or whatever you said is intelligent. And you tied it to when people are doing their excellent work, it's lightness and happy. I want to dig in a little bit more to that. Because so many people think the accomplishment of stuff is this hard, grinding path forever. And what you're saying is performing at peak is light. It is good. It is happy. And there is a congruence between the state of joy and happiness and peak performance. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, one of my recent blog posts that went out was really aggressively making fun of the phrase, there's a time for work and a time for play. I like to make fun of stupid phrases like, oh, I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Or thank God it's Friday. I'd like to rip on stupid phrases like that, that happens to be dumb and weak. There's a time for work and a time for play. Really? Oh, fascinating. Okay. Just out of curiosity, I've dedicated my life to watching people perform, and every shred of human peak performance research and observation indicates that that's bullshit. Like that actually, if you really look at the states that humans are in when they're performing at peak, it's like there's really only time for play. Meaning, right? Meaning there's like the higher, the more elevated my state, the more lighthearted I am, the more likely I am to, again, create excellence faster with less effort. And if you want to use, like, you know, the sports terms, to get in the zone. So, you know, like I said, there was a long period of time where I worked exclusively with very competitive athletes, some of the best athletes on the planet. Amazing. So much fun. Incredibly cool work. Work is a stupid word for it, but you know what I mean. And I'll tell you, I don't know how many tens of thousands of people over the course of my career I have asked this question. When you were crushing it, what was it like? Guess how many of them said, oh, it was terrible. Great performance. God, I was scared to death and I was angry. It was a struggle. Guess how many of them answered that way?
My guess would be zero.
You're right. Yep, that's the right answer. None. Because it doesn't work that way. It's not a coincidence. It's not the way it works. Which is a beautiful thing for us to slow down and acknowledge. Isn't that nice? Isn't it nice that, like, the way we evolved as humans, I'm very pumped about this. The way we evolved as humans is we're at our best when we feel our best. Love that. How good? Isn't it great? Like, what if it, I guess it could have theoretically occurred that we evolved as humans in such a way that we're at our best when we're like feeling horrible or pissed off, but it didn't. So there's great intelligence in becoming emotionally masterful and bringing levity into our experiences of life. And I'm not saying don't care. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying care so much. Care so much that you know you don't have time. If you're truly committed to creating your ultimate life and creating excellence and being the miracle that you're designed to be, we don't have time for low-grade states. We just don't have time for that crap.
You know, it's interesting because when you're in a low-grade state, not only is the time used up being in the state, but then you've got to have more time digging yourself out of the hole at some speed, slowly, quickly, depending on your facility with the tools. But you've wasted the time twice, being in the low-grade state and then the time it takes to get from low-grade to mid to higher grade.
Now, I want to add this, and I always want to add this in this conversation at least two or three times, all right? And we did it once already. I love sadness. Thank God for that experience, for that sweet, beautiful, contrasting experience. You know, that only because of sadness is there a thing called joy. Like only because of nighttime would there be a thing called day. It wouldn't have names. It would just be what is all the time. Right? So it's contrast, and thank God for it. But there's a huge distinction between sadness and suffering. And again, it comes from, you know, when I judge the sadness, or if I wish it wasn't there, if I'm struggling against it. When I studied in India, one of the most amazing takeaways from my experience there is this. Everything, when every mood, every emotional experience, when experienced fully, becomes joy. That is so powerful. So nothing needs to be avoided. All right. I just don't want to stay. I don't want to spend overtime in like really low grade states. You get to make the call. You say, go back to the example of the death of a loved one. It's your call. You get to, you know, I studied all that grief theory in grad school. You know what? I don't buy it. Really? You're going to tell me this is how, you're going to say that this is the law. This is how a person grieves. These are the stages. This is how it goes. Really? Have you challenged that? Have you opened up to the possibility that maybe it doesn't have to be that way? And it can be however you want it to be. And if you want to stay in grief, you get to do it like a champ until you don't want it anymore. And do it without any shame, do it without any hesitation, drown in that grief. Experience it, wail for days, completely, and love it. Without any judgment, until it's done. So I want to always add that, okay, to these conversations, because I will never invalidate a human being for having an experience, an emotional experience that's pain filled. Okay. I want to validate that infinitely. And I also want to suggest that by virtue of what we've learned, we might be staying in those low grade states a little longer than necessary, especially when it doesn't involve the death of a loved one. It could be your car getting stolen. Really? Yeah, but my golf clubs were in it.
Two grades lower for the state, right?
All right. I want to practice, man, until I get to the point where... Let me just tell you a story, okay? Let me tell you where I'm at. I'm just be real here, okay?
Please.
This is a real story, right, of something that happened recently. In my world. So this is where I'm at with respect to auto responses. And well, I'll just tell the story. So I go to the refrigerator. This happened within the last year. And I can tell, like, it's like drippy. And I'm thinking, this isn't right. Things are still cold. I just had delivered a whole bunch of really amazing steaks in the freezer. Okay. And I, everything was still cool. I just noticed it. It was like 7 PM or something and everything was fine. And I have a spare refrigerator. It's actually a friend of mine's. I'm like, he's wanted to store it for a while in my house and it's on. So everything's fine. All right. You could call it and I have a home warranty company. You call it an inconvenience, which I didn't. It's just an event. Mantra for that, ain't bad, just is. We'll get back to that in a second. So I put all the food out into the other fridge and I call the home warranty. They come out a couple days later and this guy is great. The guy, the repair guy, awesome dude. Huge guy from Poland, right? And we're just hitting it. I gave him a copy of the book. We're chatting it up. It's just a great, good time. He's telling me how he met his wife working on cruise ships. It's just really a good time, you know? And it was nice, and he fixed the fridge, and everything's done, right? Fast forward 4 days. I wake up in the morning. 4 days later, I wake up, and I go to the fridge. That's what I do after I do my BDD-OML ritual. I go slam a glass of water. So I go into the kitchen to get my water, and I look, and the floor is covered in water. So I open the fridge up, and everything's hot. The fridge broke again at some point during the night, and steak's ruined. Everything spoiled. I go postal. Yep. Yeah, your mental coach. Yeah. Hell yeah. It wasn't a highlight for me. I wouldn't want to put that on my website. Okay, to give testimony. Actually, to tell you the truth, I would, because here I'm talking about it, but we'll be back to that too. Anyway, I lost my mind. I was so pissed off. Carpet F-bombs. Cursing the guy that I thought was cool because he can't fix his way out of a paper bag. You know, cursing the home warranty company for being too damn cheap to just buy the paint. Give me a new damn fridge. I've been with you for 20 years. What the heck? You know, I'm going pissed off. I'm throwing great steaks, hundreds and hundreds of dollars of great steaks going in a trash can and all this. And that, you know, how long that lasted? Maybe 24 seconds, maybe. And I caught it. And this is the work. Okay, this is the practice. Catch. catch yourself in that low-grade state. Okay, we're talking about food. I hate wasting food. I really hate wasting food. And it's, these are animals. You know, creatures. And so I really don't like that. And I was, so I caught myself being extremely livid. Interrupted it, replaced my thinking. The only reason I was livid in that moment, this is very important, had nothing to do with the steaks or the food or the refrigerator, or even maybe potential damage on the floor, the wooden floor. That's the outer world. The rage that I was experiencing was because of how I'm interpreting that moment. That's all on me. All on me. So I owned it right there. After about 24 seconds, it was nice. And I interrupted it with the ultimate neutralizer mantra, like the antacid for complaining. Ain't bad, just is. So I said that out loud. I was like, CD, talk to myself. Oh, ain't bad, just is. Just is. That came from Shakespeare, by the way. That was my Jersey Boy version interpretation of Hamlet. Because in Hamlet, he says something like, and I always botch it. It's like nothing good or bad happens until you think it's so.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is.
Yeah.
Everything just is until a human puts interpretation on plus, minus, neutral. So I went from way into minus to neutral in a moment with the use of one mantra, four words, ain't bad, just is. And I stood there and I thought, man, that is, I am so different right now. I was raged. I was enraged a second ago. And now I am not. And nothing in the world changed except my interpretation of this moment of the world. And then I didn't stop there, though, Kellen. I said, you know what? Let's make it even better. So I double dosed. I got another mantra out. I said, this is the best damn thing could have happened. And if someone, if you say you were standing there and you're listening to me, you're watching this whole show. the mental coach goes postal show. Then you see me work my way out of that hell. You see me working my way out of the hell that I created for myself. That's important language right there. The hell that I created for myself with my low grade interpretation to reality. So I started with ain't bad, just is, and then I said, you know what? This is the best damn thing could have happened. Now that sounds. It might sound hokey. It isn't. I don't do hokey. All right. So if you had said to me, really, the 5 seconds ago you're cursing this poor guy and you're cursing your home warranty company and you're telling me now this is the best. How's it? You got to throw all those ribeyes. How's this the best damn thing, CD? And I would have said to you, I don't know yet. Give it a minute. What I do know is by virtue of the way I'm choosing to respond to this, I'm going to create something awesome out of it. And here I am, about a year later, maybe, talking about it, using it as a training tool to serve my mission in life, my vocation, to help people free themselves from the conditioning of their past so they can experience reality as it is in all of its infinite splendor. Here on your show, if I was told that day, I said, hey, you know what? Would you sacrifice all the food in your refrigerator, including those expensive fancy steaks, if you have a great story that would help people and help you serve them? I said, take the damn steaks. So I created, I didn't know in that moment what I was going to create from this. But it didn't take long for me to realize I'm using this story. I've used it on stage in Vegas 4 days ago. I use it in all my coaching, right? So what it is, so the story's almost over. I am so proud to say that now, with years of practice, I only spend 24 seconds in hell when all the food in my refrigerator spoils. Because back in the day, Kellen, oh, that might have been 24 days. instead of 24 seconds.
So I have one question. We have about 6 minutes left for our show, and it's going to require you to do an abbreviated version of the question because the answer's longer.
Okay.
I see you in your power, on your possibility, in the love that you teach people how to reinterpret, get themselves out of their own low-grade thinking so they can enjoy life and all its possibilities, and I said it completely wrong. But I know you didn't fall up this mountain. What choices? What happened? What choices did you make? And again, we have shorter than I would like, but what choices did you make to get where you are? Because you didn't fall there.
It's very, thank you for that question. You actually are complimenting me in the question. That was very nice of you. So so I'm going to rephrase the question and say, Chris, what is perhaps the most, the decision that you made in your life that you're most proud of? Because it's the same answer.
Go for it.
Trusting the organizing intelligence inherent within my passion. Trusting that embedded within my ultimate passion were all the ingredients for any kind of success, however I want to define it. I trusted that. It's amazing that I trusted that when I was poor, when I was going backwards in credit card debt, like $30,000 in credit card debt. And you know, I was a social worker making $17,500 a year. And I just had so many question marks about how am I ever going to like live well. Like I figured out how I'll serve well, but how am I going to live well? You know, and I just stayed with it, man. So that's the damn answer, because I stayed with it. And I never stopped sharpening my saw. I will never stop sharpening my saw, meaning doing the work on me, right? Doing my own work, getting coached, attending events, reading, you know, having amazing people around me to have, like Devin, I told you, you know, it's like, you know, and surrounding myself with brilliant people like you who are committed, right, to service. Like, this is enriching me. This is me sharpening my saw and delivering at the same time. It's amazing, right? So I never bailed, bro. I never bailed. I stayed with it.
So I've known you now long enough to have seen many examples, and I'm grateful to have that. I know because of the examples you've given, because of just what you just said, I never quit. I got on a path. I'm continually involved in self-growth, in coaching, getting seeking out opportunities to create higher grades thinking. And my phrase is always add good to the world, because we're always adding something, right, besides carbon dioxide. So I say, well, make a choice to add good to the world. Okay, so I want you to tell me, as if I were completely unaware of you before this moment, how can I find out more besides the book of mental toughness mantras, which I heartily recommend? How can I find out more about your journey, about what you teach, about how to catch myself in the low grade thinking and replace it a little at a time? How do I do that?
Yeah, it's easy. So there's so much free stuff that I'm putting out there into the world. I don't ever need to worry about making money because that happens spontaneously. Like the phrase for that is my bank account is a direct reflection of my level of service. So I got plenty of service going on. And if you go to my website, you can sign up for what's called the Daily Dose right there on the homepage. So every morning of the year you'll get, and I will never solicit on that ever, haven't and won't ever. It's a daily nugget of mental toughness that can be consumed in less than half a minute, right? You can sign up for that. My YouTube page has jillions of videos of what we've discussed and more, snippets or entire recordings of keynotes. So it's just a library of all the tools and techniques and trainings. So it's all available.
And your website is?
Christopher, that's actually a very good question.
Well, the note on the screen says Chris Doris, and I know it's not, so I want you to say it.
ChristopherDoris.com. Thank you. Christopher Doris, D-O-R-R-I-S is my last name. So it's ChristopherDoris.com. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, because I want people to go there. I'm on your mental toughness in 30 seconds or less list, and I love them. I get lots of emails, and I delete lots of them, and I don't even open many of them. But yours, I open, because it's only a minute or less, and because I love you, and because I know who you are and what you do and what you bring to the world. And so I love getting them. I use them. I'll read your thing, and I might do, you know, those Road to 50 Million videos that I do. I might use that there, or I might use it in a coaching session. And so your level of service is high. Your authenticity is high. And everybody listening to this, you can take what you heard from Christopher, from Chris here, CD he calls himself, and you can just think it's a bunch of feel-good crap, or you can say, maybe I need to explore this a little more and see how I can upgrade my life. Chris, thank you for being part of my show today.
So thank you are welcome, and thank you for creating another opportunity for me to fulfill my mission in life. Love you, brother.
Yeah, I love you too. This is what this is about. This show is about helping people to upgrade their lives and showcasing people that are doing it in spades. I can tell you right now that if you take the things you learn from Chris, you read the book, get on the list, but most importantly, make a choice, a commitment, that you're going to start practicing right now, a little at a time, and catch your low grade and upgrade a little at a time. The days and weeks and months go by, and soon you'll find yourself a new person. And when you do, you'll realize that you are on the way to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.